Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
Sometimes I tease about Sue, you know, and I always tell her it's like living with my straight man, because it's usually about three sentences in before she realizes that I'm joking and everything. But you know, there are times where, and I don't mean to just brag on my own family or anything like that, but she has just amazes me with her strength. You know that, you know, it's we have a big family, and you know, with that, just you know, a lot that needs to be done, and I just watch her just. You know, just constantly, you know, add all these things. And, you know, the pastor, you know, you get up and talk every week and do all that kind of stuff. And she's very happily, quietly sits back there and just kind of just is who she is, you know. But, Susie, I appreciate you. And, you know, you're a gift to me. Half of what you like about me is really her. People will come to me and say, oh, thank you so much for that thoughtful card you sent. I go, oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling me on my birthday. Who do you think reminds me of all the birthdays, okay? I make the calls, she gives the reminders, and, you know, it's just, you know, so, I don't know, it's Christmas, I guess, I don't know. Waxing emotional here, but thank you. So, this morning, you know, it's just, I you know, we do a lot around the holidays around the telling of the story of Christ's birth from the perspective of Matthew and Luke. You know, those are the ones, the stories that, you know, that fill the artwork and everything. But, you know, a couple of times, and this is going to be another one, I decided I would like to share about the birth of Christ from one of the other Gospels. Now, Mark makes no mention of it. It just kind of starts off with, I think, John the Baptist, if I remember correctly, but I didn't look it up so I could verify it and look really smart. So anyways, but I want to look at John's Gospel, because John's Gospel gives a heavenly perspective on the coming of Christ. And there's something that I noticed this year, and it just, it's hard to come up with new material for Christmas, but there are just times when God shows you something in a way that is just different. And it brings a different perspective, and I'd like to share that with you this morning. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, that your word is always new, it's always fresh, Lord. It always has something to show us that we didn't have before, and so, Lord, we keep coming to your word as this fountain of blessing to receive. And Lord, thank you that you didn't give us a book like others have, Lord. Your people came and said, we want a king like everybody else. Lord, thank you for not giving us a book like everybody else. But Lord, you wrote us a story, a love story, a story of your love for your people and your relationship and how you were drawing them to yourself. And so, Father, we pray this morning as we take this time, Lord, that you would be with us and that these words would not just be words from a pastor or words on a page, but Lord, that they would be what you intended for them to be, life-transforming truth that comes from a God who loves us. And so, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to as many as received him, you know, you have to picture first century Israel a little bit to kind of get the perspective that you need to look at the Gospel of John and what it says and really grasp, you know, the significance of it all. And, you know, but the people who are waiting for God to send salvation, because they are waiting for this, you know, they're waiting for the Messiah. And, you know, the seed of the woman. You know, somebody pointed something out, and I'm afraid about where I'd be going doctrinally to share exactly what they said, but, you know, they're talking about how that, you know, it's an interesting thing throughout most of the Bible, it's the seed of the man. When we talk about the seed, we're talking about the seed of Abraham, seed of, you know, seed of the man. But you go back to Genesis, and God says to the woman, your seed. All right? And Paul picks up, he didn't say seeds, he said seed, as of one. All right? And this Jesus that was born was the seed of a woman, but not the seed of a man. Seed of God. All right, but because he's born to a woman, he's still part of mankind, so he's still son of man, son of God, you know, he's both. you know, but just this whole thing that throughout all of history, you don't hear this word, seed of the woman, you know, until the Messiah comes. And that's what sets them apart. You know, this special gift. But so here's these people that are waiting for a Messiah. And in Lamentations, which is probably written by Jeremiah, you know, it's a lament, okay? And so there's this long lament. But in the midst of it, he says this. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Okay? These folks, if you looked at their circumstances, I know as a missionary, you see people living in circumstances, how can they have hope? You know, and the only hope that they're going to find is in God. And he says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses, by the way, word check says that's not a word, but they're wrong, it is. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. There are times, you know, when we feel like God's loving kindness over me has ceased. You know, I'm in a time of suffering and difficulty, and it feels like God's loving kindnesses. But this I recall to my mind, therefore I hope the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed, of a truth, they never cease. For his compassions never fail. His compassions, these are things that you have to grab a hold of in order to have hope, okay? He says, his compassions never fail. Love never fails, you know? They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Notice, that which I hope to gain in life. You know, I mean, I know at times I sat with my financial advisors and they've told me I should, what my portion should be a 401k, all right? And it's like, you know, and I've got a 401k somewhere. Anyways, but you know, and it's like, but in the, that's not my ultimate desire in life. You know, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Here are these qualifications. You wait for him, you seek him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. You know, and you think about the people in the Christmas story that were just pretty much waiting silently. You know, you don't have a lot of words from Mary. Don't have a lot of words from Joseph. Don't have a lot of words from the shepherds or the wise men that come seeking. You know, just quietly approaching this event. And, you know, and so then in this mood that's created, this awareness that gives us hope, you know, imagine that into this comes the Messiah, the Savior, being born into the world. You know, and so we're going to look at John's gospel here just for a minute. And it's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So without Christ, nothing would exist. Right? This is him. This is the one who has existed from all eternity, as the one who would go to the cross for us, the Messiah, in eternity. Everything that is created through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Right? When he breathed, you know, that life into that lifeless figure, created out of the dirt, which, by the way, you are dirt, you know that. You know, I mean, this is what we're made of. All right? How did they know that? They didn't know that. God told them. You know, so in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, this is the point where now we're talking about the birth of Christ. A light shining in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. You know, I mean, last night I heard a sound on the rooftop, okay? And I've never found St. Nick up there, so I knew it was probably just rain and stuff falling, you know? Because it's happened before, right? You know, so I know what to expect, right? You know, I heard a sound in my driveway, and I knew it was the guy with the plow, you know? It's happened before, so I knew what to expect, right? But you have to understand, when this light comes into the world, nobody knows what to expect because it hasn't happened before. All right, this is something new. You know, it says this light shines out of darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we're pitching forward here, and we're going to come back to the birth again. This man from God whose name is John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all, how many? All, because we have a message for all mankind, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he was come to testify about the light. Now we're going back to the birth here again. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. All right? There is an awareness of something greater than myself that is in every person. All right? Jesus Christ coming to the world, he enlightened everybody. All right? You know, that you cannot be born into this world except that you have an awareness of something greater than you. And frankly, usually with it, a desire to find it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. All right, you have to understand, Jesus born into that manger, all right, in that little stable, all right, and even the people who received things from the stars or things from the angels and everything, they did not get what they were dealing with. All right, they had this amazing thing. You know, I'm going over the idea that shepherds have a really boring life. Okay, I mean, you're hanging out on the hills, and I mean, excitement is when a lamb is born. You know, like 100 times a year. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's just, they don't even have TV out there, if you can imagine this. No cable, you know, no game systems, nothing. They are just out there. They can become extremely proficient at things that you wonder what the value of them is. You know, they can sling a stone and hit a hare from a distance. There you go. There's something you can say, hey, what'd you do with your life? Well, I got was really good at slinging a stone, you know. So here they are in the midst of all this, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of God shows around them, and he says, don't be afraid. I got a message for you. They don't know what to do with this, all right? And even after they've received the message and gone and verified that they're saying is true, they don't get it. They don't get it, all right? But they just were faithful. As a shepherd, you now have one story that anybody would want to listen to, and you tell everybody, all right? I mean, because shepherds come to town, it's not like people gather around them and see what they have to say, all right? So, hey, what's going on? Well, we got a bunch of sheep, you know, sheep are lowing, you know, they're kind of out in the fields, they're eating and stuff. Had a few lambs the other day. It's not an interesting conversation. But all of a sudden, these shepherds have got something exciting to tell. All right, so this whole thing that, you know, that nobody knows what's going on. It's happening, but nobody knows. But then says this, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Okay. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the ability to do as you please. He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so this holy birth, okay, was to bring about a new birth for you and I. Okay, John 3:16, you know, the thing about being born again, right? You know, this holy birth, this birth of Jesus into the world. Prior to this, nobody could be born again. No one could be born from above prior to this. But with Christ coming into the world, and then what he does at Calvary, is the sacrifice of himself at the cross, all right, comes this opportunity for a new birth in us. All right, so the birth of Christ, you know, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, this right, and the right, I like to look up words, all right, the power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, permission, the ability or strength with which one is endued, which he either possesses or exercises, the power of authority, of influence, and the right of privilege. That if you receive him, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't just end there. You know, you have now the right, this ability that we're talking about here, to become a child of God, one of God's children, right? That, you know, right now we got a president-elect, and he's got some pretty impressive children. You know, it would be cool to meet one of his children. And I would have this impression that by meeting one of his children, I have somehow come into connection with who their father is. All right? You've met my kids, you know. And if you think you're meeting a little part of me, you are. I mean, you know, they can't help it. You know, for good or for better or for worse, I mean, you know, they have these qualities, you know, that come from their parents. You know, and so We have the right to become like him. All right? Christ has come. All right? And we believe that we are children of God. All right? That God gave us a gift in order to make us a gift. All right? See, he gave us his son, and you know, I have some really cool stuff people have given me. And you know what I did? I put it back in the box and put it in the drawer. Okay? Not because I didn't value it, because I did value it, but I was afraid something might happen to it if I left it out for people to mess with it. But this gift, it does not go in a box in a drawer. All right? It's taken into your heart, and you live your whole life this way. All right? And you take up, and you start to realize, you know, well, you know, I've never been very patient. Do you know that you can become very, very patient? You know, well, I've always been kind of an angry person. Do you know you can be free from that? You know, well, I see I'm Irish. I am, by the way, you know, Irish, English, and German, and all that stuff. All right? You know, and so we're kind of feisty, you know. It's like, well, you know, you don't have to be feisty. You know, well, see, I was born into this. I was born into that, blah, blah, blah. You know, and if you decide to rely upon your first birth, then you're locked. You are what you are by definition of others. But God has given you have the right, because you received him, you have the right to do as you please, okay, and become like him. You've not been locked into bondage to become like him. You can be born again and going home to heaven to no reward, if you like. I hope you don't like. All right? You can be going home with no reward. No change, no outflow. The talents that he gave you, you know, the investment he made in you, totally consumed. And it never went back out, and there's no reward. You can do that. If you choose, you can. But if you choose, you have this authority, this right to become this one of the children of God. When people meet you, they think, wow, so that's what God's like. How about that? You know? Okay, I think it's a better option. We are to have his character in order to represent him. Right? I'm guessing that Donald Trump has some kids that he prefers represent him, and some children he prefers to do other things. Okay, just because they're human, and I know that they have varying qualities and varying measures. But we're to have God's character so we can represent him. All right, Philippians 2, 14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Do you know that you can get identified as one of God's children just by stopping grumbling and stopping disputing? You hardly even need to do anything else. If you're the one person in the room that doesn't grumble and doesn't dispute, the word's going to tell you, you might get recognized as one of God's children. How about that? You know, sometimes we get this idea about, you know, climbing the Himalayas and doing some great feat. You know, how about just, you know, getting God's character and just knock it off a little bit here. It says, okay, it says, do all things without grumbling or disputing so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world holding fast the word of life. So you go down to Argentina, you know, and it's like, and you're thinking God's got some big complicated thing for you to do. And you get down there, and for whatever complicated things you might be doing, you start recognizing that the most powerful thing that happens is that when things happen, I don't respond like other people respond, and the love of Christ is still flowing in me, even when things are really bad. It says that, right? Yeah. It says, well, you know, I'm disputing like that. It says, you can prove yourself blameless, innocent children of God above reproach. Wow. But we're you know, so this birth, you know, him coming here, he could have stayed in heaven and just given orders. I don't know, I guess we wouldn't have been saved that way, but, you know, but still, you know, he could just run the universe that way. But he decided to come and to reveal himself to you in a way that his birth becomes the opportunity for a new birth, and the gift that you received becomes the gift that you are. All right? That any circumstance you find yourself as a follower of his, there you are. You know, you're this representative of God because you've got his character. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Think about how these words, you hear these words from the Christmas story? You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here we go. For the fruit of the light consists in goodness and righteousness and truth. You can be good, behave yourself, you know, according to what God says, and speak the truth, and people are going to recognize you're a child of light. It says, so you do all these things trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know? I mean, we spend a lot of time. Americans are just, oh, goodness, we are glorious at this. You know, I think we'd probably defeat the rest of the world if we were to compete. You know, but we really like to please ourselves. We really do. You know, I remember one time somebody, they're talking about something. There was, you know, big famous preacher that I won't mention because Buster Stories hates when I tell stories about him, you know. But anyways, but he was walking out and he's saying, you know, he says, I'm gonna preach a sermon about how, like, you know, basically, you know, if people were to excavate our culture, you know, years to come, they would assume that we worship the television set. He says, because in the center of every home is this TV set, and they say, ah, that must be what they worshiped. And I says, and I looked at him, I says, but they'd be wrong. I said, because you know who's being worshiped? The one holding the remote control. They're the one that's getting it. Yeah, whatever pleases me, and I just keep pushing buttons till I get it. I tried that on my wife, and it didn't work. You know, it was a joke between us. She wanted to talk about something. I didn't want to talk about finances or something. I don't know. And I picked up the remote control pointer like that. Didn't do a thing. But we have fun, don't we? So, but you know, but wait a minute. What if I stopped that and said, you know something? Instead of trying to please me, God, look at, you know, what pleases you? What pleases you? What is pleasant? Pleasing, pleasant, okay? What is pleasant to you, God? You know, and I want to know what blesses you. And the word is replete with stuff that tells us about this, okay? Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, all right? And so this idea of being children of God, you know, in the Old Testament, are you ready? Do you have something for us? Merry Christmas. I have no idea. This is a surprise. This is a surprise.
But don't have a lot of time, do we, Pastor?
No, we do not have a lot of time.
So I just, the kids wanted to bless you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry to interrupt your sermon.
Oh, that's all right. No, you're actually you're fulfilling my sermon, so that's all right.
And they all did something to say that they appreciated you and Sue.
She's out back there.
Okay. So they want to each tell you something that they appreciate about you. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay, Zach, you can start.
You're a great pastor.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we'll put this somewhere with you. Okay, what do you think?
You're a great grandpa.
Uh-huh.
I love you.
Uh-oh. You got to watch how you get run over, kiddo. I know.
Okay. What do you want to say?
That's good. You too, honey. Jojo.
What do you want to say?
Amen. Amen. Okay. Bless you, sir.
All right. Justin.
Great pastor. God bless you.
Bless you too. Bless you, man. Thank you.
Okay.
I know I'm loved because she puts up with me.
Oh,
you're too, honey. Bless you. Amen.
You're a great pastor.
Bless you. Oh, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for all you do. We never say thank you enough. You've been such an awesome man to so many of us and touched our lives in so many ways. So thank you for
bless
what you,
you
do.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you. New Year. Thank you. All right. Yes, and at 63, I can still blush. Yes. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, Israel, you know, that was God's people, and you know, they were the children of God. You know, in the New Testament, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the ones that God says are his children. You know, and so if you're led by the Spirit of God, you know, you're his child. And, you know, we're to be led by his Spirit. You know, we're his heirs. And, you know, and we're, why? Why do we receive this inheritance? We receive an inheritance, really, not only, you know, to be ours for eternity, but also in this life, that we receive this portion from God that becomes, you know, what we use to bless others. You know, and you know, we've talked a lot about that. But you know, I'm sorry, I lost spot there. But, you know, over here in Romans 8, 14 through 17, it just says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. All right? It says later in verse 16 that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So, you know, the life that you're called to is not always going to be a pleasant life. It's not always going to be one that pleases you. All right, but to be this gift, to be this, you know, God gave the gift to make you a gift, you know, so that others can receive that gift. All right, so 1 Peter 4:10, each one of us has received a special gift. I've preached this over and over. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so, we're empowered. We're empowered to serve God this way, you know, that we have this gift from God, the gifts of the Spirit, and and even ones that go beyond the list that we have. You know, these things that God gave to us as gifts to be able to open up opportunities for us to share the love of Christ, and with that, the message of salvation. You know, Acts 1:8 says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, all right? So we go back to Bethlehem, and just, you know, love was shown to us at Bethlehem, all right? Here's this little city, and there's the census taking place, and in the midst of all the confusion and all the distractions and all the problems, you know, to be had, you know, into that comes this blessing, this love, that it's important for us, you know, that as we think about what God has done for us, to remember what we were, to remember who we are, and to recognize what we will be. And this is over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Remember, that's what it's to as many as received him, he gave us this authority, this right to be the children of God. And it says, but look at this love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, just like Jesus. All right, that's the thing I want you to grasp here today, is that in all this that I'm sharing, keep in mind, when Jesus came himself, the world didn't know. They didn't understand, and they were slow to receive him. You may find that as you go out as his witnesses, that people are slow to receive what you say. They may resist you. They may not know you. They may push back against you. But be encouraged. You know, the one that you're following has overcome the world that you're sitting in the midst of. Okay, and in the midst of that, you're not resisting flesh and blood. You know, you're dealing with principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, that's what's resisting you. You know, but the people underneath all that, they're living under the oppression of all that, those are God's children that we're trying to reach. So, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared to us what we will be. We know what we were. We're trying to grasp who we are and surrender all the who, what, where, and everything. And it has not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. Everyone who has this hope, remember the hope we talked about in the beginning, right? Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Get the junk out. You know, there's stuff in your life that's slowing you down from this, and God says, get it out. The message of salvation that began to unfold that night was a message of great joy for all. Luke 2, you know this one. What does the angel say? Don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God gave us a gift to make us a gift. I'll say it again. You know, if you want to be that gift from God to someone this holiday season, you know, I just want to encourage you. There's some things that you just need to take hold of. And here's another refrigerator magnet for you on the back there. You know, sometimes I just clip them out and put it on the refrigerator. If you don't have a refrigerator, well, tape it to the wall and apologize for the thing. When the tape comes off, the paint will come with it. But here's the simplicity of it all. First of all, you want to be a gift to somebody else. You want the gift that God gave to be the gift that you are, to become the gift to somebody else. First of all, believe him and receive him. Be a child of God. Have his character. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Exercise your gift. Sometimes that's the point where we fail. Because up to this point, it's all internal. You know, I believe, I receive, you know, and this whole thing. But then when we get to this point of having his character and exercising that gift. You know, I had two opportunities in the past week. Sometimes you think when things happen that, you know, if it isn't something you think is good, then probably it isn't good. I woke up with acid reflux in the middle of the night. Anybody know? That's not good, right? Okay, so I'm sitting up for about 10 minutes going, you know, you can't lay back down. All right, so and that's like, you know, 3:20 in the morning. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, I got to get up and plow in the morning. And I think, this is not good. Then all of a sudden, bing, my phone dings. And I look over, a kid that I ministered to 20 years ago, and the only time I've really seen him was when they showed up here on Easter morning this year. He texted me and said, you know what? He says, I'm dealing with something. He says, I think it's demonic, and I need help. And I thought I should call you and just ask you to pray for me. I answered him immediately at 3:20 in the morning. All right? And anyways, and so we went back and forth on text message for a little while. And as I'm sitting there, the Lord is just pushing me. He's going, call him. And I thought, well, that's just me, you know, because I'm sitting bored in the middle of the night. No, call him. You know, it's like louder, you know, inside my spirit. So, you know, I called him. You know, I prayed for him. Do you know he was set free right there over the telephone? All right. Now, I mean, there's a lot of other ways that story could have gone, right? I could have seen that message in the middle of the night, said, who is this guy? Was he nuts? I haven't seen him in 15 years, and he's texting me in the middle of the night. End of story. Okay, now I'm just telling you that, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I understand. I could have done all the stupid I'm talking to you about, I could have done. I'm not telling you about things that would be a stretch for me to imagine me doing. All right? I could have just not called him, and God said, call him. I don't know if God accepts text message prayers or not, but I hope he does. But I mean, but you know, if he tells you to call him, you call him, right? But I just decided, oh, come on, God's middle of the night, I got to plow in the morning. It's like, you know, and just, you know, poor me, you know, and decided not to call him. What if I get into a big conversation? You know, and then I got to stay up, you know. Oh, poor me. Right? What if I got into a poor me? Wouldn't it happen, right? I got a guy that I've been you got to take it easy, okay? He's a non-practicing Jew, and anyways, and he's just sort of like, you know, I'm not very religious, and, you know, and I'm not into that sort of thing. And every time I see him, we always talk about it. Anyways, and so I was talking to people at corporate prayer. I said, you know, I think I'm going to ask if I can pray for him this time. You know, because I know he's been real resistant to that. But I've been praying for him because he's got a disease, and the doctors tell him he's not going to live long. And anyways, and I looked at him boldly because I really felt the Lord tell me to tell him. I said, that's not going to happen. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to pray for you, and you know, and that's not going to happen. He didn't know what to say. Second time I told him that I was praying for him, like all the time and every week, and even more often than that, he was like, well, I really appreciate that. That was a step. This time I said, can I pray for you? I mean, man, you can go to the backside of a desert or jungle or any place else and have a hard time finding somebody who's this simple towards the things of God. He says, okay. He goes, but I don't know how this works. I don't know if you're catching this. He's saying, I've never been prayed for before. Do you know you got people like that all around you? They've never been prayed for before. You know, but it was just, I'm sitting there at the, he's somebody that is in a service industry thing. And I'm sitting there at the counter, and this thing's working in me. Ask him to pray for him. Ask him to pray for him. You know, ask him to pray for him. He's just going over and over and over again. How many times? We've all done it. We've all walked out on it. We've all gone home and not done what God was stirring in our heart to do. All right? Finally, I just looked at him, and I thought, I have to yield to this, you know. I said, I was telling him that I had been praying for him. I said, can I pray for you, like, right here and now? He was looking over his face. He didn't know what to say. He goes, oh, okay. He said, but I don't know how it works. So I said, it was real simple. I says, you don't have to do anything. I'm just going to talk to God for you, if that's all right. So I just prayed for him and everything like that. And I'm believing God's working, you know. Yes. Now, I mean, you know, you don't always get the whole testimony book, you know, in one setting, you know. But I see, all I'm saying is, you know what? What God is using me to challenge you about is what God's challenging me about. Amen. All right? I'm not exempt. You'll notice, you can go back and listen to all the podcasts for the whole time I've been here. I don't think you'll ever hear me say, you guys. Because it's us. You know, all this word, all this that God's saying here is for all of us, including me. All right? And so I don't know that I've ever preached something to you where I felt like, I'm Superman, and you guys are like, you know, and I got to get up here and straighten you folks out, you know? Because I don't think that's it. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to head out into the last week before Christmas. And, man, I just love to hear some testimonies of people who just got pushed past their comfort zone and to minister into somebody and just understand something. God gave me a gift. He gave me a gift to make me a gift. And now I have the right, I have the privilege to go out and become a child of God, to become someone who represents God through his character and through my words and actions. And so, Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that each of us, Lord, as we step out into this world around us, as we touch the lives of people that cross our paths, it may be somebody in the grocery line and things are going slow. Lord, it might be a next-door neighbor, a friend, a family member. I don't know. But, Lord, you made us, you gave us this gift to make us a gift. And so, Lord, we pray, give us opportunity and eyes to see it. Lord, to share the gospel message, this message of great joy for all people. Lord, that you give us the opportunity to draw people into the knowledge of you and your great love. And Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.